last position was basically as Noman Ali Khan's manager strategist. She says, as a man, do not extend your hand first. Why?
The roles in the workplace.
Do I feel that women are capable?
You talked about the sexual harassment. You talked about...
And if we don't put limits on our interactions and we don't curtail our interactions, we can enter a very dangerous territory.
You don't see the UFC having a man and a woman in the ring, right?
Together.
Assalamu alaikum, guys. Welcome to another episode of The Dean Show. I'm with Brother Imran, who is the founder of the Wallaway podcast. He's also a strategist and consultant, former director of Baina Institute. We're going to get some strategies. We're going to get some principles for business. We're going to pick his brain. And hopefully everyone can benefit who's watching. When we come back here on The Dean Show, don't go anywhere. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Eddie. How are you?
Good, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, doing well.
So tell us a little bit about the Wallaway.
Sure.
Because you're non-Wallah.
Non-Lawala.
Non-Wallah, yes.
So the Wallaway. The Wallaway is a podcast I started earlier on in this year to focus on the things that I'm passionate about. Some of it is about leadership. Some of it is about health. A lot of it is about mentorship and how we can apply certain principles into any aspect of life. For example, sometimes we talk about sports in the Wallaway, but we talk about sports from a leadership position. So when we examine things that happen in sports, we examine why do certain athletes act in certain ways? What's the psychology behind it? We've had psychologists in the show on the Wallaway to talk about certain decisions in sports. But we talk about a variety of things, but I'm very passionate about leadership, education, and health. Those are primarily what I discuss on the Wallaway.
Now, you were with this institute, the Baina Institute?
Yes, correct.
That was run by Noman Ali Khan?
Correct.
And you were the director of this institute?
I had a few different positions there. My first position was basically as Noman Ali Khan's manager, strategist. After that, I became the... on the operation side of the nonprofit side of Baina, and I was also the director of the Dream Program.
Mm-hmm.
So I wore many hats.
So you got a lot of experience from being there?
Alhamdulillah. I had experience before I got there, and I definitely gained a lot of experience while being there. So it's always a pleasure and a benefit to be able to work with students, people from different parts of the country, people from different parts of the world, to work with talented staff. So it's always a great experience to gain wisdom, to gain insight, and to also impart whatever wisdom and insight you may have.
So you've had the experience before you came there. You got some more experience while you were there. So now, what can you give to us now when you come into a lot of these organizations? Some of the things that you see that are being done right, some things that are done wrong, and how people can improve so they can go ahead and better ship their leadership abilities and go ahead and do a better job.
Irregardless of whether one is in the nonprofit or for-profit side, everything always starts with leadership, right? So when everything is effective from the top, right? Everything that trickles down is effective. So leadership principle, leadership methodology is very important. The leader has to be one who has a vision, a mission. The leader has to be one who is encouraging conflict, dialogue. Just imagine, right? Imagine if right now what we're doing on the Dean Show is we're dialoguing. Is that correct?
Yes.
If we don't dialogue, if you don't bring guests onto your show and dialogue with them, we miss out on a lot of knowledge. We miss out on a lot of opportunity. So as a leader, whether you're in a nonprofit or for-profit side, you got to encourage dialogue. You got to encourage debate, conflict, not personal attacks, but the ability to question why certain decisions are made and to question why certain strategies are implemented. So one thing that I would say is, when you're in a leadership position or whether you're running an organization, try to hire the right leader. Try to have someone who has experience in leadership. Try to make sure that the leader is someone who is honest, someone who is modeling the way. This is a very important principle in leadership. What do we mean by modeling the way? Now, if I say I am all about integrity and honesty, right? But you see that I'm not a person of integrity. I cheat, I lie, I steal. How would that impact your understanding of me? Would you respect me?
No.
You wouldn't respect me. So as a leader, you got to model the way. You got to be an effective leader by being what you claim you are. So whatever values I have as a leader, whatever values that I express in the organization, I have to embody and live those values. Once you model the way, one thing that I say is very important to do is to encourage, like I mentioned before, encourage debate. So you have to be comfortable with conflict, right? Conflict is good. If you watch a movie, if you read a book, what's at the center of most movies and books? Conflict, right? Can you think about a movie or a book or anything that you've seen that doesn't have conflict? It has some type of a dilemma. It has some type of issue that's trying to be resolved, okay? So when we have this conflict, we have to be able to be open and transparent. If we're not open and transparent, guess what? People are not going to commit to whatever decisions that are made. Because if I call you guys into a meeting right now and I say, okay, let's talk, but I'm really the one doing the talking and I don't let you express what you want to express and you just nod your head yes and agree with me, the reality is once we try to implement whatever this decision is, you're not going to buy in. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a few things, but those are three very important things.
What do you do when you open up that door of dialogue and conflict and now people, where you keep it balanced, where people are expressing their views, and then now when everybody is having their thoughts expressed, but now when you don't go with their thoughts or express, and then egos get in the way and hurt, and have you had these situations happen?
Absolutely.
And then someone doesn't agree with what this person's saying, and then it becomes an argument. How do you balance that out?
This is why, as a leader, you have to embody your values. So number one, what are your values? Do you stand for justice? Do you stand for integrity? If people respect you as a leader and they see that you have integrity, you have values, and that you're principled, they will accept what decisions you make. Part of accepting your decisions is that that's what you have to implement. You go into a meeting, you say, look, we're going to have a discussion, but by the end of the discussion, we're going to go with one agreed principle. And I need to have consensus on that. You allow for a debate to happen. People get passionate. People express what they believe in. Once you reel it all in and you go with, employee A's opinion and not employee B. It's a very simple thing. Employee B, this is what the majority accepted. This is what I accepted as a leader. Let's go forward with it and let's see how it goes. What's very important, because to counter what you said, if this thing doesn't go right, who has to take ownership of the loss?
You do.
The leader does. And if you take ownership of it, guess what that shows to the team? Shows many things. It shows, number one, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to take ownership of doing something wrong. And now this is why leadership and team building and running an organization, it's a process. It's not a one finite event, right? Small wins, not big wins. So if you have the right people on the bus, if you have the right people on the team, I don't really find that the question that you posed to be a problem. People buy in. People agree with what has been agreed upon. This is why when you hire people or when you hire different positions, you have to be able to hire the right people. See, people get caught up in the losses. People never talk about the successes, right? Or it could be both ways. But here's what I mean. I go in as a consultant and I see that the leader of an organization is complaining about a toxic environment, a toxic work environment. People think that this happened in one day. No, it happened from the time before you interviewed that employee. Even the principles you use to interview employees have to be adequate and proper. I have to make sure that the person is the right fit for the organization. So there's many ways to examine that. But in summary, again, I don't think it to be that big of a problem when you employ the right tools. Have conversation, have dialogue, let things fall in place. And again, this is where we have to be able to differentiate. Conflict is not bad. Conflict is not bad. Ideological conflict is not bad, right? What is bad is personal attacks. If I say, Eddie, I think we could do this better, or I think we should use this type of microphone or this type of camera, maybe we should do this with the lights, you should accept that. If I say, Eddie, if I personally attack you, right? If I attack your demeanor, if I attack your looks, if I attack your intelligence, how would that make you feel? How would that make you feel?
Yeah, that wouldn't feel right.
You wouldn't feel right. So again, conflict is good as long as it's not personal attacks.
So you're not insulting someone as you're trying to get your opinion across.
Correct. And also part of the training is to do what we're talking about with your team. So I would sit with my team and I would take them through this argument, right? Or I would take them through these principles by saying, look, there's going to be times during the course of the year or the course of this consulting session where I may not agree with what you're saying and you may not agree with what I'm saying. That is fine. We can disagree. We can even argue respectfully. We are not going to personally attack each other. And when you sit down with people and you tell them that disagreeing and conflict is okay, sometimes they question it, right? You even have to take them in baby steps through this training and allow them to understand that these things are okay.
When you listen to some of the entrepreneurs are out there, and you see some of the character traits that they talk about a leader having, and then you compare that to Islam. So let's say, for example, they talk about being punctual, being honest. They talk about pretty much shura.
Sure.
Right? But then when you see, do you see those things in the deen, that the deen also teaches those same exact things? You're just like, wow, it's like they read a book on Islam.
I've had those moments happen throughout my master's. I got my master's in education and leadership. I've had those aha moments happen when I've read a lot of the books by the so-called gurus in leadership. But yeah, there's a lot of connections. So one of the first things is respecting people. You know, a lot of the work that comes about leadership, entrepreneurship, team building has to do with respecting others, letting people talk. Do we not have examples from the Sunnah? Do we not have examples of people coming to meet the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and him giving them a voice, him letting them talk, him letting them finish speaking? Even though he would probably make a certain decision, he would give them the opportunity to share their vision, share their thoughts, share their opinions, right? And then when that happens, and even if another decision is made, people feel invested. They feel, look, I was heard. My opinion was heard. It was discussed. There's many other. There's, you know,
one. Let's stop at that one right there. Yeah. I mean, this is really important, because if you don't let, you want to be heard, and let's say you let someone, like the Prophet saw some, he will let someone talk, and then after they're done, so you finish, and then not interrupt them. And have you had these situations in a meeting at home? This is just any time in life. You're listening to someone, and then as soon as you want to get things going and express yourself, they start cutting you off. And then it keeps going, and then I'll cut you off again. But hold on, you just sat quiet for like 5 minutes, 10, maybe 20, and then now it's your turn, but they don't let you talk.
Imagine we're at the workplace, okay? Imagine we work together, and I'm the leader, you are on the team. Every time you want to talk to me about something, an idea that you have, a problem that you're facing at work, while you're talking, every time I cut you off and I stop you. It happens the first, the second, the third, and the fourth time. The fifth time, when you're thinking about coming to speak to me, what's going to be going through your head? What are you going to be thinking?
You can't get anywhere with this person.
I'm not even going to go into this person, right? So again, when you allow people to finish speaking, they feel vested. They feel, okay, at least this person's going to hear me out. Mm-hmm. So this is one great example. You have to let people speak. You have to respect their opinions. Another great example, and this is very pertinent for anybody in HR, anybody in a leadership position, pay people on time. Pay people on time. What's the translation of the hadith? Do you know it?
Yeah, before the person's sweat dries.
Before the sweat dries off, you pay them. How does this not relate to the common work era? If I am giving you 40 hours, 50 hours of my life a week, right, and you're not paying me on time, that's going to be a problem. But we have this solution in the Sunnah. Pay people on time. Why do we pay people on time? When they're giving you their expertise, they're giving you their knowledge, they're giving you their time, respect it. Pay them. You know, people use money. It's none of the business of a leader or HR to think about what these people need the money for, right? So sometimes you'll have experiences where they say, oh, the payment came a day or two late. No, that is none of your business. Meaning, if it's only a day late, they should be fine with it. No, we don't know what type of bills people have. We don't know what type of expenses people have on a weekly, daily, or monthly basis. So pay people on time.
You have these situations where, I just heard a story from a brother. He was talking about how, now there's obviously nothing wrong with trying to get a good deal. Some people call it wheeling and dealing,
sure,
negotiating, right, to get a fair price. But then once that price is negotiated, and now the brother, he's talking about, I'm praying with this brother, everything is good, you know, and then we get into a business transaction, we make a deal, let's say the deal was for $100, that's what we agreed upon. I start working, and now he's hitting me, he's, hey brother, can you do it for $60? He's already invested his time, his effort, they've made the deal. The deal is for $100 or $1,000 or whatever the course. And now, while they're doing the deal, he's already invested, he's got him, he's already sweating, brought his tools, and now he's trying to come in and get a discount. What do you call this?
This is unfortunately not uncommon, right?
Yeah.
But again, do we have any safeguards in the religion to protect us from this happening? We have contracts, right? We're encouraged to use contracts. Again, and at the professional level, we find many organizations especially many faith-based organizations, not using contracts. They don't use contracts. They do not write. They do not put pen to paper and write down what they expect from the employee, nor does the employee write down what they expect from their employer. And then what happens? 1 month in, you haven't got paid. Is it in the contract when you're supposed to get paid? Oh, there's no contract? So there's nothing to fall back on? Okay, I was called in to do XYZ, but now they've added more tasks to my job. Well, what does it say in the contract? I don't have a contract. Again, Islam has the solutions for a lot of these problems. You go in, when you even if I'm not an employee, I'm not a normal employee, right? But say we want to go into a business venture together. Say we have intellectual property that we're discussing. It's IP, right? What can we put into place to safeguard both of our investments, both of our ideas? You can use NDAs. You can use contractor contracts. You can use any type of template. There's many, many services online now. Very easy to utilize, right? Which will protect your time, your ideas, and your investment. But the problem is, we don't like taking the extra step to use these contracts, but we have to.
Even if it's, say, at a smaller level?
Absolutely.
The guy's coming to change your toilet.
What's wrong with using a contract that takes 5 minutes to write out?
Or this is something just you can pick up a pen and just on your own, just a paragraph, a sentence.
You don't even have to do that.
Because people think contract, I need an attorney, I need to spend, you know, money to draw this up. We're not talking about that.
If you are going into a bigger venture, something that's more complicated, definitely get an attorney, right?
Okay.
You have services like Rocket Lawyer. Great service. You sign up for it. You pay a very minimal fee a month, right? And it, according to what state you live in, it gives you a set of laws for that state, a certain level of understanding. Okay, now I want to go into a contract. I want to get a plumber. There's a template for that. You don't have to even write a paragraph. It says, who is the one receiving the services? Imran al-Nawala. Who is the one providing the services? Okay, for example, say it's a TV, audio-visual consulting, the Dean Show. What's the address of the business? This is the address. How do you expect to be paid? Right? It's as simple as fill in the blanks. Mm-hmm. Very small words, very small phrases, and the contract is done. Few minutes.
So there's no complications later on now.
You have something to protect not only you. This is what I always tell people. When people call me about going into... they want to use the Wallaway or my other business, Digital Learning Partners, as for consulting. What I say is, let's sign a contract, not only to protect me, but to protect you. So another thing that I do is I mentor millennials, right? So part of mentoring millennials is that a lot of times when they feel comfortable with you, which is built through trust, when you show them that you're trustworthy and you're honest, they start opening up and they start sharing ideas. What I say is, if you guys ever want to bounce an idea off of me, let's sign some documentation. They say, but it's you. I said, but it could be a $1 million idea. It could be a $1 million idea. Believe in yourself. But not only believe in yourself, protect yourself. What are you supposed to do? Trust in Allah and tie your camel. Mm-hmm. Right? Tie your camel. Take the means that are going to protect your future. This is not only your future. This is the future of your children. This is the future of your family. This could be generational wealth. So what I do is I have the mentees create an NDA that I have to sign to protect their ideas. And when you do that, believe me, it goes a long way with the mentees. They take it even more seriously, right? Because now they're interacting with, God willing, people of integrity, people who have their best interest in mind, not only my own best interest. And you find that a lot of the times in businesses, a deal seems very good, something seems too good to be true, but you find that people are just trying to essentially be predators. They're trying to find talent, they're trying to eat up this talent, take concepts and ideas from people to keep themselves going. But you know, as Muslims, we have to be above that. We have to be beyond that. We know that our risk, our provisions are written. We're going to get every penny that we are supposed to get. Right, we take the means to protect ourselves, but what's wrong with wanting for your brother or your sister what you want for yourself? I want to be a millionaire, but how do I become a millionaire? I want that for other people. Until I show that sincerity, I should not expect to get it.
So you see, you've witnessed a lot of that. You call them business predators.
Yeah, it's a phrase that I just used right now. But yeah. Unfortunately, in every aspect, not just in faith-based organizations, in other organizations, the reality is we know that this exists. In the non-faith-based realm, We don't want to believe that this exists in the faith-based realm. But why shouldn't it? Has every employee been vetted? Has every person that you've brought into the organization been vetted? And I'm not talking about any specific organization. I've dealt with a lot of different talent, a lot of different people from different parts of the world, different parts of America, from different organizations. And you find that people are very similar. You find some people who are always very sincere, but very sincere people are often trampled upon, walked over, and their ideas are taken from them. Why? Because they don't put the proper corrective measures in place. And then you find another extreme. You find people who look professional, they look great, but sometimes their knowledge in the deen is not where it should be. And the practical parts of the deen, the entirety of Islam is practical, right? But if you're going to be working in a professional setting, you should learn the fiqh of working in a professional setting. You should learn the parts that are pertinent to being a leader, the parts that are pertinent to being an employee, right? The religion has parts that discuss that. Mm-hmm. So unless you learn these things, unless you learn the principles of the religion, it's very easy that either intentionally or unintentionally, you are going to take someone's rights or you're not going to be doing justice to your job.
Yes.
So you have to learn these things.
What have you learned and what advice do you give for now when you have the male, female gender roles in the workplace?
I mean, look, do I feel that women are capable and competent human beings? Absolutely. We got to dispel this notion that women cannot do a lot of the work that men do. They've proven that wrong. But we have to also be cognizant that a lot of the issues that happen at the HR level in organizations, and you can read a lot of case studies about this, have to do with sexual harassment, have to do with discrimination based on gender. How do we curtail this? Number one, we have to understand that fundamentally we are different beings, right? We're all humans, we're all equal, but my chemistry and your chemistry is different, right? And when Islam teaches us that being in seclusion with a woman, for a man to be in seclusion with a woman or for a woman to be in seclusion with a man, it's not only one way, it's both ways, can be problematic, right? If we're to be honest with ourselves, and we should be honest, this is one thing that people do not like being anymore, which is honest, is that we have certain desires, we have certain wants. And if we don't put limits on our interactions and we don't curtail our interactions, we can enter a very dangerous territory. So one thing that Islam does is we have certain dress requirements for both genders. As a male, I'm not allowed to walk around naked. I'm not allowed to walk around exposing certain parts of my body, right? For a woman, it's the same thing, and rightfully so. We want to be able to concentrate on what the task at hand is, not on looks, right? This is why sometimes people are against meetings by phone or meetings over the internet. I'm completely for it. Because what you're able to focus on is the voice. You're able to focus on what is being said, not what you're gazing upon. You have to. Let's be honest with ourselves. We go on social media. We overhear locker room conversations. How do men most often talk about women?
In a derogatory way. Yeah.
Derogatory way. Talking about them physically. When you remove that side of it, and all you get is the woman's intellect, her voice, her opinions, what are you left with? Her intelligence. Her ideas, right? Not to say that women should be completely removed from the situation, but we have to understand that certain rules and regulations are put into place. Moreover, just to kind of curtail the relationships, right? We have to understand that relationships at the workplace should be professional, right? So if I'm interacting with a sister at work, what are some do's and what are some don'ts? Says, Assalamu alaikum, sister, how are you? I'm doing great. How's your family? MashaAllah, they're great. Okay, that's good, right? By the way, were you able to finish the report that I asked for? Or by the way, how is the design going for such and such project? When you start getting very casual and very comfortable, this is where you start getting into that danger zone. Because remember, for you to go from point A to point Z, say A is the ideal and point Z is complete disaster, it doesn't happen in one big leap. It happens in steps. So those steps, they take time. So one day, it's one piece of conversation. The second day, it's another piece of conversation. The third day, it's, okay, now whenever we speak, we're 3 or 4 feet apart. Now we're speaking, we're 2 feet apart. 2 weeks later, we're 1 foot apart. Next thing we know it, we're shoulder to shoulder. It happens step by step. So you need to realize what is professional, what should be left in the house, what should be for the workplace. And I think I brought this example to you before. When I was in high school in 2004 as a senior, I went to a non-Muslim high school, and I was the class president of my high school, right? We went to this mandatory leadership training with high schools across the state. Thousands of students, not in Islamic training. A very qualified woman got up and she was giving us some advice. She goes, when you introduce yourself as a man to women, this was 2004, not very far back, not in the 70s, not in the 80s, not in the 50s. She says, as a man, do not extend your hand first. Why? She says, maybe the women don't feel comfortable shaking hands. This was not a Muslim woman. She says, let the woman extend her hand first to see if she's comfortable with it. Keep a certain distance. What happened to this time?
This was from who?
A non-Muslim woman who was giving leadership training to high school students across the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But again, you find a lot of relation to what she was saying to our principles. Right? So there's a lot that I've learned over time. There's a lot that the theories entail. More than the theories is the life experiences. Right? You don't want to get your heart broken. You don't want to break up your home. So when you interact with the opposite gender at work, keep it professional. Keep it professional. Stick to why you're at work. You're at work for work. You're at work to get a certain task done, a certain job done. You're there with a certain mission and vision in mind. Think about that only.
How about now, before you even, now when you're choosing a role, let's say you really, you want to get out there, and what should be your vision, your objective? Is it just for, I'm choosing this career just for me, or we're limited in a certain area where they need more people in this particular field? So now we're deficient here, and I'm going to help the ummah, to help the community, or I'm just filling out resumes just to be working at McDonald's.
Look, so
because they're not going to have those same, it's different. You're in an environment. The environment is going to set the stage for probably what comes next.
Of course. So excellent question. Of course, whenever you do something, you should always think, how can I benefit the ummah? How can I, not only the ummah, right? When we say ummah, let's define what we mean by the ummah. We mean human beings, right?
Yes.
We mean all people. Because as Muslims, we believe what we have is beneficial to everybody. And I know that you've talked a lot about this in your show. This is what I talk about on the Wallaway as well, is mental health, physical health. So we have a solution for everybody. To answer your question, mentorship is very important. So sometimes we are in a position in our life where we think we know what we want, but we haven't accumulated the right amount of experiences to know exactly how to get there. Or maybe how our life can change every 5 or 10 years. So when I'm 18 or 19, I think I understand the world. I think I know everything. And to an extent, you do. But mentorship is important. So what I would say is find a mentor. Find someone in the community that you trust. Have them mentor you. And have them help you decide what you fit into. For example, because another important principle in leadership is competency. Competency, right? So as a leader, you have to be honest. But number two, you should be competent. What do we mean by that? You have to be competent in your specific role. You have to be competent in navigating the culture at a workplace. If you don't have competency as a doctor, right? You're not interested in learning chemistry and biology and anatomy, but you say, I want to become a doctor. How's that going to work out, right? So with whatever position a person wants to go into, develop those competencies. So if I want to become a graphic designer, what are you doing to learn graphic design? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of people fighting against themselves. I mean, the cultures change, you know, people start to define their way of life according to the norms of society. What have you seen? Because we've seen a lot of women, even men, but particularly because they call it as a doggy dog world, it's a rat race. So you've had people now make certain decisions and they put themselves in very uncomfortable predicaments. You talked about the sexual harassment. You talked about people now, you know, the man will get up, go out into the rat race of life, go to provide for his family. Now it's become kind of a competition, right? Some of the roles are mixed up. Have you seen this?
Of course.
Now, we know that it's beautiful in Islam because you have the two genders complementing each other, right? Biologically, they're different, right? But they've been spiritually they're the same in the sight of God, but they have you don't see the UFC having a man and a woman in the ring, right?
Together. And there's a reason.
And there's a reason for that. But then we've had a lot of sisters and women in general, now that they've fought sometimes against themselves, and now they have everything they have, because it's a man's duty to provide for his family. He's the maintainer and the protector.
when somebody wins a UFC fight and they grab that, Joe Rogan brings over the mic and they start speaking, what's one of the first things that they do? I'm gonna leave it to you. What's one of the first things that they do?
They bring, wait, when what?
So I just won a fight. Joe Rogan puts a mic in my face. What's one of the first things that they say? Who do they think?
Who do they think? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pray. Oh, who do they think?
Yeah.
Depends who the person is. Tell who.
Usually the team.
The team. Okay.
They say thank you to my coach. Thank you to my trainers. Thank you to my team. Why? Why? Because this is a team effort. Very often we see one person going through the journey and winning, but we don't realize that even these winnings are team efforts. Same thing amongst lions. You brought up lions. Okay. One is protecting. One is hunting. One of my specialties is team building. This is what I love doing. And in the podcast, what I try to exemplify is using examples from sports. I'm a big fan of basketball and the San Antonio Spurs. The way the Spurs win is by finding people who fit specific roles. Like you said, how do people complement each other? A husband and wife complement each other, right? Everyone has a designated role. When we start trying to do what the other person is good at, we have redundancies. We have inefficiency. We have certain tasks being done and certain tasks not being done. It's the same at the workplace. It's the same biologically, right? One person usually bears the child, right? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it that the man is bearing the child as well?
No, the woman's bearing the child.
So the woman is bearing the child. And we find that these examples translate into many different spheres and realms. So we have to be honest. And I think you put it the best way, and we can leave it there. Compliment. How do we compliment each other? Right now we are on a talk show. We are talking to each other. We are complimenting each other. You are not talking to yourself. I am not talking to myself. This is a compliment. We don't have a problem with this, right? There's a mutual benefit. Marriage is the same. There's a mutual benefit, right? There's been a lot of things that have happened throughout history to kind of start changing these dynamics. A lot of authors and researchers have pointed out that I believe it was World War I or World War II when in America, when the men went out to Europe to fight, the women were left alone. And then the women were sent to the factories to build the war machine, to build bullets, ammunition, etc. So traditionally, women were not working outside of their homes. Now, all of a sudden, overnight, they were sent into the workplace. They were making their own money. They were providing for themselves. That's not the only issue. Young boys were left with these women. So traditionally, what would have happened is the father would have been a part of rearing his son. Maybe he took him out to the farm. He took him to the workplace. He took him in the car. They went shopping. But now when the father's overseas and fighting, you're left with the boy being completely reared by the mother. Which, look, I'm not saying that the mother should never rear the child. You have a mother. I have a mother. We know the benefits of our mothers instilling certain principles and values within us. But we also need a father, right? We need a father. And when you take either or out of the equation, it's detrimental.
Yeah.
It's detrimental. Another author pointed out that when you go into the schooling system, preschool, kindergarten, who are a lot of the teachers in preschool, kindergarten, and elementary school? It's women. Again, we're not knocking this. But when there's balance, there's a benefit. Mm-hmm. So we have to bring balance to these things. And we have to be honest. I'm not saying that everything that I've said right now is 100% accurate. I'm open to criticism. I'm open to dialogue. But that's the difference. When we talk about tolerance versus intolerance, part of being tolerant is being able to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't want to have conversations, and especially in 2018, when we talk about gender roles, psychology, whatever these things are, people do not want to have a balanced conversation, and especially one side of the spectrum.
Balance, yeah. So we'll conclude with that. Balance, keeping it balanced in Islam is a balanced way of life. And you know what the beautiful thing is? The one who created life, the owner of life, he didn't leave us to figure these things out on our own. He sent the guidance. It's there. So whatever field you're going, you have the fiqh of this, fiqh of that. Everything is there according to the verbatim word of God, the Quran, the Sunnah. Everything is there. Have you found that?
Of course.
Everything is. It's not for us to be fumbling in the dark. But when people start following their desires, they start ignoring this, that's when they start getting lost and end up making a lot more mistakes rather than adhering and looking at, okay, what does my deen say? Is this acceptable? It's not, I'll leave it. I'll make an adjustment. But that's when you put the creator first, and then things usually fall in line much better. Have you found that?
Look, put the tablet down, turn off the computer, put the phone away, be introspective. Just sit down at the table, lie down at your bed, take out the headphones, and think. Think about your day. Think about your doings. Think about your actions. We're humans. We make mistakes. But the benefit is when you're introspective, what led you to make that mistake? What can lead you to avoid making that mistake? And as you mentioned, Islam is a balanced way of life. Islam has a solution for a lot of these problems. But it's going to start when you're introspective. Right now, we're too connected. We're always connected to either Facebook, Instagram, social media, YouTube, our TVs, our phones, our tablets. Just disconnect for a while. Find a time in the day where you can disconnect and just be introspective. Think.
Yeah, think.
Meditate. You know, you've had guests on previously and you've talked about it many times. Eat right. Eat right, right? Lower that inflammation in your body. When you eat right and that inflammation is lowered, you can think right.
Yes.
You can be right. Think positive. Be positive. Fill your heart, fill your brain, fill your stomach with good things. And then it's easy. But you have to start with being introspective. You need to ask yourself some hard questions.
Beautiful. Where can people, alhamdulillah, get a hold of you? The Wallaway?
You can go on thewallaway.com. That's the Walla, W-A-L-A, way, W-A-Y.com. Wallaway also has a Facebook page. You can hit me up on there. And look up Imran Nanawala on Facebook or Instagram, and I'm there.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Good having you on.
Thank
the
you so much.
Jazakallah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And there you have it, the Wallaway with our brother Imran. Islam has left us a complete guide from A to Z on how we need to live our lives and be introspective. Think, ponder, everything is there. Subscribe if you haven't already. Get the little notification tab so you can get our shows weekly sent to you. We'll see you next time here on The Deen Show. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.